The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham, and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Be seated, Father.
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Be still. Those were two words I heard a lot when I was a little kid. You see, when I was in the fourth grade, I think our teachers all got together one day and they created a new classroom layout for us. Instead of these traditional rows of small desks, we were gathered into groups of three with our desks pushed together facing each other. And then our teacher said that we could decide who would be in our groups. Well, immediately, me and two of my other 8 or 9 year old friends made up our group, and you can imagine the chaos that came from three energy filled, short attention span boys sitting facing each other all day. Quiet down and be still. It was the theme of my fourth grade year. On this Reformation Sunday, we're going to spend some time in Luther's Reformation Psalm, Psalm 46, as our Lord calls us not to be still and be quiet, but rather be still and be glad. Verse 10 tells us, "Be still and know that I am God." Now, there are a couple of different ways that we can look at this. First, it is like my fourth grade teacher. Be still over there, as in quiet down. And I think that there is a lot to be said for this in the midst of this fast-paced, crazy life that we live today. Oftentimes, our lives are filled with so much stuff. Taking care of our families, working to get ahead, keeping up with others. And when we do have a few minutes to ourselves, we often fill it with things like Mariners and Seahawk games. Sorry, that wound is probably still a little sore right now. Grabbing our phones in order to keep up with the latest news out of D.C. or who's protesting who, perhaps arguing with chatbots about who's on the right or the wrong side of the latest social issue, or perhaps just scrolling endlessly through funny cat videos. Trust me, they are addicting. Are we ever just still? Do we ever just sit in the presence of our loving and gracious Creator, sit and let His love and His mercy wash over us, knowing that He is God and we are not? This last fall, I have embarked on a personal daily devotional discipline to do just that, to simply be still. And if it all goes well, I hope to share my experience with you after the first of the year so that perhaps some of you may find value in it. But in order to be still, our Lord, through the psalm, commands us to be still. You see, this psalm was sung by pilgrims as they were traveling to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. And here, "Be still was not telling them to sit down and take a rest along the way, but rather the Hebrew word is more like stop striving or stop resisting. Is that what we are doing? Are we doing that today? Striving against God? Well, you can say that we do strive or resist God's law. That is, what is it that he wants for us and other people? We do resist God's gospel at time, as in what God wants for other people. You see, the human sinful nature always seems to be at odds with God. So much so that when Luther read these words, I'm sure that he recalled how he strived to please God through fasting, praying, and paying penance. You know, those and so many other people trying to do these things to earn God's favor, to get God to notice them. However, over time, it was the word of God that got Luther to be still, to stop fighting against God's grace, to trust that we are saved by grace through faith. What about us? Are we no different than those who surrounded the author of Psalm 46? Do we too strive with God's law, questioning what he is doing in our lives and why he's doing it? We too strive with God's gospel when we think that we must do something or add to what God has done for us on the cross? Wouldn't it be great if God's command to be still had the same force as when he said, "Let there be light," and there was light? Wouldn't it be wonderful if God said, "Be still," and we all stopped striving at his command? Sure, God could strong arm us into submission, knock us around a bit, make us be still. But you see, that is not the God that is revealed to us through Scripture and made manifest in his Son. Through him, we learn that he has much gentler ways of stilling the striving soul. His law has the power to bring us to repentance and in through faith forgiveness of all of our striving. What a wonderful thing that God stills souls so that his presence makes people glad. But here's the problem. To be still or stop striving isn't something that we can do on our own. It goes against our very nature. Sometimes God intervenes. Sometimes the bad things that happen to us are so bad they shock us into stillness. Sometimes the good things that God gives to us are so good that we stand still in wonder and awe. And at times, both are necessary. When I was in water survival training in the Marine Corps, as an amphibious landing force, we had to know how to survive in the water and also rescue others. And I remember vividly one of my instructors saying that if someone looks panicky and is starting to go under, you have to come up from behind them. You may have to even punch them in the face to shock them into calming down. Otherwise, they may use you to stay above the water and force you under the surface. Paul understood exactly what this was like, to be shocked into stillness. On the road to Damascus, when the exalted Jesus confronted him, Jesus said to Paul, he was kicking against the goads. Goads were sharp instruments used on cattle of the day, and the more striving and the more resistance of the animal, the more they were injured. You see, when Paul finally got stilled, God made him an instrument of the gospel, sharing the message of grace and faith from God alone. Here is where we pick up the other word for the day. It's in verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. The people, as they traveled to the temple, knew that there was no river or stream through Jerusalem. They knew the psalm must be talking about a different river that makes glad. If you remember, one day Jesus was at the temple for the festival where they poured a pitcher of water over the altar, which would run down the steps into the pool of Siloam. And Jesus brings it all together when he says, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." This he said about the Spirit. The Holy Spirit stops people's striving. As Luther wrote, "I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel." The same faith puts us in the crowd that Isaiah wrote about. "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. They shall be glad and joyful." It was this very psalm that inspired Luther to write A Mighty Fortress. And in it, we see that Luther understood Jesus to be the fulfillment of God's promise. Jesus is the one who stills people in their striving because he does what is necessary for our salvation. He goes to the cross and he dies for all of our sins, including our futile striving against him, and to make our striving unnecessary. That makes the city of God, the church, glad. And it makes the future city of God, heaven itself, glad eternally. God stills souls so that his presence brings great gladness. So how are we at being still? Well, the psalmist writes, "God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea." See, when we hear of wars and rumors of wars and kingdoms tottering, it can be difficult at times to remember that God is our fortress and refuge, and a present help in trouble. When mountains tremble and the earth gives way, will we not fear just a little? Well, the two things that we are focused on today are the two things we don't do very well: be glad and be still. So perhaps a better way to sound this better little gospel message is to say, be stilled and be gladdened. You see, that way we know that it is God who is doing the stilling and the gladdening in us. On this Reformation Day, what a wonderful gift it is to know that God stills our souls so that his presence brings gladness now and forever. Amen.